here. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, today, and we ask you to come and that you'd really minister to us through your word, Father, that you would, Lord, begin to just open up to us, God, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, God. Lord, I pray that you would teach us, God, to be sons, God, and not servants. Lord, that you would bring the manifestation, God, of your word into our lives, God, that we will live according to your promises, God, and that you have for us. Lord, right now, God, in the Spirit, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today. God, we thank you. We bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to kind of continue on. And I will say this. I had a very, very difficult week preparing a message. Not so much preparing, but I was going to speak on dating. You know, and I was preparing and I was studying the book of Ruth because that's where I was going to get the text from. I was going at it. You know, and then last night, I just felt God say, nope, it's just not the right time and stuff. So it doesn't mean it's not the right time for dating. So if you want to date, go ahead and do that. But I just felt like it wasn't the right time. And so I was, you know, scrambling, just continue praying. I thought, you know what, let me just, you know, continue on in this discussion that we started last week, kind of impromptu. And so we're going to do that. And what, you know, we're talking about basically, especially as we launch into something new, you know, the Bible says, through Isaiah the prophet, God says, behold, I am doing a new thing. And I want to tell you, at church, God is doing a new thing. You know, there's going to be things that are happening at church, things that, you know, that we probably never dreamed of would happen. You know, today actually marks my anniversary. You know, some of you guys didn't know, it's not wedding anniversary or anything like that. You know, if I forgot that, I'm in big trouble. But today, actually, this is, today's the 12th, right? I think my first Sunday was November 10th, back in 2002. And so it marks 4 years of being in Hong Kong, you know, and, Not that, no, you're not applauding me, we're applauding God, right? And stuff, and so I don't remember what I preached on, but I do remember that I demanded everyone to take me out to dinner for my birthday. And so, you know, just that's my personality coming out. But, you know, just looking over 4 years, and, you know, actually I was a bit emotional during the worship time. You know, especially that song, it just seems so appropriate, that song that we sang, right? You are forever my life. You know, and it says, you help me out the words. But the latter part where it says, I'll sing a song, right, for your faithfulness to me, you know, and I could not, you know, the 4 years, before we came to Hong Kong, I couldn't imagine that God would set me into the most wonderful church with the most wonderful people and, you know, with just the, just people that love, you know, us and love our daughter, like, you know, can't even imagine having a daughter back then, you know, but just the amazing faithfulness of God. You know, and that we're still here. You know, originally it was a 2-year commitment. You know, and we doubled that already, right? Double portion, and so we're looking to more quadruple or whatever portion that comes. And you know, and I just want to say thank you to you for making 4 years very, very enjoyable. You know, the Bible in Hebrews it says that submit to your leaders and obey them. You know, and I forgot exactly the verse, but it says, and so it'll be good for them, right? So it'll be pleasing to them. In fact, let's just, Hebrews, since we're already there, let me see, let me find it real quick. It's later on in Hebrews. Well, Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. You know, and I say that, you know, in the, you know, gosh, in the 4 years, it's been an incredible joy. You know, and very, very rarely had there been any times of grief. And that's just a testament to you guys and your character and your love and your support through this whole thing. And so I really, really thank you. I can't tell you, you know, I can't say enough, I guess, with words, how much my wife and I, we appreciate and your love and your care, you know, and all this to say that, you know, we're embarking on a new chapter. You know, we're moving forward into something new, something that we've never, you know, done before, and something that we imagined it would happen, but not so soon. You know, and you guys kind of know what's going on, and maybe if you don't, I can update you a little bit. But next year, we're starting another service, and we're trying to attract basically a different kind of crowd, you know, and not so much, we try to attract anyone that's hungry for Jesus, you know, that's looking for something, obviously. You know, but now we're kind of targeting families. And so we're starting a Sunday school. We hired two new pastors at church. You know, it's probably, you know, we'll have a time in December where we're going to commission them. And it's going to be a fantastic, I guarantee you don't want to miss that service. But some of you guys know Nate is going to be our new youth pastor, you know, so. And we got another, and Sam's not here, he's actually back in L.A. right now. But Sam, Kim, and Annie, they're going to be our new associate / education director and stuff. So. Yeah, we got to get one free on that package, right, and stuff. So, you know, we're embarking, and so we're doing new things, and there's going to be church is going to grow, you know, and I anticipate that we probably won't be in this building for very long, and I just see things just really happening, not just here at Solomon's Porch, but also with the Korean church. A lot of things happening, a lot of very wonderful things. And some of you guys that came out to the service a few weeks ago when we had a joint service, you saw a lot of walls being torn down, a lot of healing taking place, and a lot of affirmation and confirmation of what God's doing. Things that we have been praying for 4 years, you know, and God's bringing the fulfillment of that. You know, and so we speak and we think, and I've been thinking a lot about this whole idea of how do we build your house, God? You know, there's a song, it's an old song, and every time I sing it, I get quite emotional, you know, and the song is quite simple, and one of the chorus, and some of you guys, worship team members, kind of helped me a little bit, you know, and it says, you know, here I am, you know, I'm building you a house, right? You know, a house just for you. What's the name of that song? To you a home, long have I desired for you to dwell. Yeah, resting place, right? You know, and whenever I sing that song, right, there's this part of me, and it's this God-given desire, God-given mandate to build something for God. You know what I mean? And we all have it. You know, not that we're workers and, you know, we're slaves or these things, but this desire as a son to build God a house. And a lot of times I think of that in terms of David and David's longing to build, you know, a house for the Lord. And not just a structure, you know, or some place that we go to, but to build his church. You know, and part of that building is that we build our hearts. You know, and our heart becomes a habitation of God. You know, and that he comes to dwell inside, you know, in our hearts, but also in the church. And this has been my lifelong passion since I became a Christian back in 1992, was to build his church, was to build a house, to build a habitation, not just, you know, that the God would come and visit us, right? Not just visitation, but habitation. That the God would be so pleased with what we had offered up to him that he comes to stay, that he comes to remain. You know, and so I've been asking myself this question. Well, how do we build God's house? How do we build God's church? You know, what kind of characters does it take? What kind of characteristics? What's the, you know, what's the work that goes in building God's house? Because it's got to be different, right? You know, Solomon said, he looked out and says, how can I build my own house when God is in a tent? You know, and he had this kind of idea. See, that was the heart of a son. You know, and when we talk about, you know, in the last few weeks, generational transfer and generational reconciliation, all these things, you know, kind of what we read, these passages we read today, God built his house through sons. He doesn't build his house through servants. He doesn't build his house, you know, through hirelings. You know, God built his house through sons and daughters. In fact, that's the only way that's going to happen. You know, we read Psalm 127. If you're taking notes, you can write this stuff down. You know, and he just very clearly talks about that, right? How God builds. I'm not going to read the passage 1-5, but we said it last week. God, right? God builds his house revelationally, he builds it relationally, and he builds it generationally. Okay, you know, and you can only build a church and only build something that will last for eternity by using sons and daughters, right? That's the only way it's going to happen. And so we just have a few points here that we're going to try to go along. And you know, and throughout this whole time, you know, we say this a lot, I say this a lot, but let the Holy Spirit speak to you, right? I mean, let Him really take you deep today, you know, and begin to weave through your motives, you know, and kind of weave through the very things that allow, that kind of come into your life that kind of gets you away from really committing to His house. You know, what are the things that really get in the way, you know, of you really making a commitment, you know, to His house, to His church, you know, and not that, you know, and I don't speak this message because I want a big church. To be honest, and if you know me at all, I really don't care. You know, big is good just simply for the fact that more people get saved, you know, and that's about it. I'm not about building an empire or, you know, making my name famous or anything like that. You know, I just want to see people change, you know, and that's the blessing, you know. And like today during worship, you know, I was just thinking and praying, that song was going, and, you know, I'm thinking, God, you were so faithful, not just in my life, but you're faithful and all your faces just started popping up. You know, and God has been so faithful in your lives, you know, and that you've been here and you sowed, you know, and you stayed and you served, and God has blessed you guys. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just amazing how this whole thing works, you know, but God comes and he builds this place through sons. You know, what is it, right, that prevents you from really committing? What is it? You know, what is it that really gets in the way for you really sinking your roots down, you know, into this place? And I know that, you know, I mean, it could be your job or something. You know, maybe you're here, a 1-year contract, 2-year contract, indefinite contract or whatnot. But does that really matter? You know what I mean? You know, I gave a message years back, you know, maybe a year back or so, right? Prosper where you're planted. You know, wherever God has planted you, prosper. You know, sink these roots down. And if He uproots you and takes you somewhere else, you carry that same principle, right? That same, you know, authority of sonship with you. And so God takes you to Shanghai. You find a place and you sink down and you serve with all that you have. And you give with all that you have, right? And God will prosper you in that way, right? And so what is it, you know, that is getting in the way of you really committing? You know, really giving yourself, you know, and operating not as a servant, but as a son, you know, and I know I'm only a few years older than some of you, you know, well, some of you, a lot of years older, right? You know, but, you know, and I'm not here to say I'm your father or anything like that, you know, and so I'm not going to use that term in terms of a headship, you know, but I will use that term in terms of positionally as your pastor, you know, and very simply as we read here, you know, and so, but I mean, what is it that prevents you? You know, and hopefully the Lord will really begin to speak to you. And I say this, and I don't say this, you know, rudely or anything. But you know what? To be honest, if this place isn't it, man, I bless you to go find that place for you. You know, because I tell you what, man, Sunday in, Sunday out, it's not doing you any favors at all. You're not going to receive, you know, all the things that God has in store for you. And so if not here, don't worry. I'm not that, you know, I mean, I am competitive, right? But when it comes to church stuff, I'm not competitive at all. I mean, I pray for other churches in Hong Kong all the time. You know, and I ask God to bless them. And, you know, I'm not in competition with anybody. Solomon's Porch is not in competition with anybody. You know, as far as I'm concerned, we have the same boss, right? We have the same mission, the same mandate. And I know that, you know, you've heard people say that, but I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, I mean every word that I say in relation to that. You know, and so if you want to go somewhere else, man, God bless you. You know, I'm really serious about this. God bless you. You know, go find a place that you can feel comfortable and secure and really, you know, dig your roots down deep, you know, because we're about building something here. Amen. Right? We're about building God's house. So let's talk about, right? What's the difference? You know, we read Galatians and it said here, you know, let's go back to Galatians chapter 4. And it says in, we'll just go verse 5. Well, let's just start at verse 4. Let's read the whole thing again. It's such a powerful passage. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son. Right? Again, it was the Son. Now, obviously, when we're using this term here, we're meaning daughters as well, okay? And so, please don't just think it's just a male-only thing. In fact, let me just say daughters for a while, okay? Even though it is a couple syllables, but, right, we'll just do that, right? In order that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as daughters. And because you are daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, listen very carefully. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter. And if a son and daughter, an heir through God. Right? He says, look, we cried Abba, Father. You know, Abba is the Aramaic term. The term actually connotates very deep, very dear, personal word. Right? It's not like you say, you know, oh, you know, Father, I need something, right? This is a kind of, you know, a little kid runs up and says, oh, Daddy, you know, or very same, you know, the Aramaic, very similar to the Korean and even Chinese, right? Abba, right? You know, Appa are these things. And it's this very kind of like personal, very dear, full of sentiment and meaning. And he says, and we have that spirit inside of us, the son, right? The spirit of adoption. You know, Romans also allude to that and says, we cry Abba, we cry Daddy. You're my daddy, right? It's this kind of personal nature of the relationship. And he says, you are no longer a slave. Right? That's not who you are anymore. You are now a son and a daughter. You have been totally, fully grafted into the family of God. And you're a son and daughter. The problem that we have is that most of us, we are operating in this relationship with God, we're operating as slaves. You know, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. Hebrews, we read the passage, you don't have to turn to that, but Hebrews alludes to that even more. And he says, and this is talking about Moses, and Moses served the house of God as a servant, but Jesus Christ served as a son, right? And everything was built through the sonship, right? Do you see how this is different, right? And so, you know, so the writer of Hebrews, you know, most likely Paul, you know, he's coming and he's telling, look, there's a difference between a servant, a slave, and a son. You know, God builds what, you know, things that are important. God builds things that last eternally. God builds His church. God builds His house through sons. That's where it comes from. It's not through servants. He builds through His family. Right? And so we're going to go through just a couple principles here. Number one, sons build the house. Servants simply serve the house. Right? Sons build the house, but servants serve the house. Right? You see that there's a marked difference here. Right? There's a vast difference from being a son versus being a servant, right? A son is always alert. A son is always looking out for, right? A son takes the initiative. You know what it's like? So you guys, how many of you guys here own your own house? Sorry, raise your hand. It's all right. Don't be bashful, right? Praise God. God bless you, right? And now, so most of us here rent, you know? I tell you what, I've rented, I've owned, and now I rent again. You know, and there is a vast difference from when an owner lives in the house and when a renter lives in the house. You know what I mean? You know, when an owner lives in the house, you're very careful. It's your house, man. You know what I mean? You know, people come over to your house and, you know, like, hey, don't ding the walls. You know, like, you know, be careful, right? Hey, don't spill the carpet. You know, you're renting, yeah, do whatever you want. You know, here, here's some grape juice, knock yourself out, right? You know, it's just a totally different mentality. You know, a son is the owner of that thing, right? Because sons gain through inheritance. Well, I'm kind of going ahead of myself. But we're the owner of that thing. A servant is just hired. He just comes and he goes, you know. And it's, I mean, you know, like when I rent, I don't want to put any money into my house. You know what I mean? I don't want to, you know, like even, no matter how little or simple, I just don't want to touch this thing. You know what I mean? But when it's my own house, I want the best. You know, I'll go out of my way. You know, I mean, you know, trust me, you can ask me, I was at Home Depot almost every week, you know, when we used to own our house, just fixing things and doing stuff, you know, modifying, you know, making it better. And on. When I haven't spent a dime on my place besides changing a light bulb, you know, while I'm here in Hong Kong. And so because it's not my house, Right? In God's economy, it's very similarly the same way. A son builds, a servant just serves. Right? And we're talking about these things can be very minute, but it's a mentality difference. It's an attitude change that's in us, right? And this is what sons and daughters do. Sons, right, take the initiative. Servants just do what they're told to do, right? It's such a marked difference. You know, we talked about this a little bit before, you know, but sons, right, number two, sons are always family oriented, right? Servants are issue or ministry oriented, right? Sons put relationships ahead of their work, you know, ahead of their ministry, ahead of their service. Servants, it's just their job. Right, it's a different thing. Sons, right, are family oriented, right, and so it's different. You know what I mean? You know, when you have this mentality of family, it changes the whole dynamics of everything, right? If Jine is my sister, you know, and she is my sister in Christ, if she's my sister, it changes our dynamic as you know, as individuals. It changes our relationship. It changes the way that I view her. It changes the way that she views me. And it changes the way that I am towards her, you know, my attitudes or whatever. But also, it changes my mentality in that now as a brother and sister, I'm there to protect her. You know, and so if I see some sleazy guy around, you know what I mean? I'd be like, yo. You know, that's my sister, right? Don't mess with my sister, man. You know what I mean? It's a totally different change. A servant, you know, a guy that just works there, he's just working there, right? The language is not family, right? The language is, it's my job. You know, and so we can very easily be serving in ministry. You know, you can be serving on the worship team. You can be serving, you know, in welcoming or something and not really care about people whatsoever. You know what I mean? You know, if you've seen these things, hey, how come you're late, man? You know? Come on, get your act together. Da, da, da. And actually, I do that a lot too. You know, but you know what I mean? But these kind of things, you know, maybe I should use a different example. You know? But, you know, these kind of stuff, and it's like we pay no mind to the individual or no mind to what that person is going through, you know, or maybe there's things going on in their life or whatnot, but because it's all about the job. It's all about the task. Hey, think about this, right? Think about you serving in church. Have you ever been hurt by someone as you've been serving in church? Don't raise your hand, okay? You know what I mean? You know, here you are serving the Lord, and this other person is serving the Lord, and you know, but you get hurt by that because the person that was in, it's usually the person that's in charge. It was all about getting the job done. See, but a son, right, or a daughter is about family. It's family oriented. So it's not just about getting the job done, right? It's not just about, you know, oh, we have this thing, we got to do this, we have a deadline, you know, in church and this. That's not what it's about, right? A son operates, right, through family oriented relationships. It's a different mindset, right? It's a totally different mindset, right? A son, right, is always family oriented. Servants are always issue or ministry oriented. You know, have you met people in church that are just mean? You know what I mean? You know, that they just are so task-oriented or so focused on something, you know, that they lose sight of why they're there. You know what I mean? They're so concerned about getting the job done that it's just totally, you know, kind of push people to the side and manipulate and all kinds of stuff. Because you know why? Because they weren't sons and daughters. They were servants. Right, and it's a totally different thing, you know. A son, you know, before this, right? A son holds the father's heart, and the success of the father's work is their own. Right? We talked about this a little bit last week, right? But that's what a son does. A son holds the father's heart, and the success of the father's work is their own. Right? Servants take, sons inherit. Right? A servant is always looking for what they can get out of this. But a son knows that the more they pour into it, right, eventually they will receive because they're going to inherit it, right? They're going to receive this thing, right? A servant is always calculating, oh, you know, okay, well, I did this, so I should get this. And, I served this, and so I should, you know, and that's the language of a servant. But a son's language is totally different because a son inherits. A son inherits, right? What are we at, number four? Number four. Sons honor naturally the chain of command. Servants continually question the chain of command. right? Sons naturally honor the chain of command, right? You know, they understand the hierarchy. They understand that, oh, you know, there's a leader, you know, there's another leader here, and they just naturally honor that. A servant, you know, is always asking questions. Why should I listen to you? Why? You're not more spiritual than me. You know, I've been at this church longer than you have. You know, why are you a leader? How come I'm not a leader? You guys understand the nuance? You know, sons naturally honor the chain of command. You know, and servants always question the chain of command. They're always there like, you know, this is not fair. You know, why is that person a leader? You know, how come Pastor Sam didn't choose me? You know, on and on. Because, you know why? Because you're not a son. You're not a daughter. You're a servant. You know, and you're operating out of that servanthood. You know, and incidentally, the term servant that we're using today has a negative connotation, right? You know, so I hope you got that by now, right? Right? Okay. You know, and so we, you know, I mean, this is a question, right? Can you submit to a leader that you don't like? Right? Now, we talked about a little bit last week, and we're not going to get into the Genesis, but can you submit to a leader that you don't like? You know, people in the military, they do that all the time, right? They do that all the time, right? Soldiers, they don't choose. They just submit. They just submit, right? And it's different, you know? And I tell you, man, I've had conversations with people, you know, here at church. And, you know, it's just like so clearly, well, you're a real son. You're not. You're a servant. You know, hey, we have this meeting, you know, can you come? Oh, man, I don't know, you know. Gosh, I got stuff going on and, you know, this and that. And, well, okay, it's all right. You know, well, incidentally, there really was nothing going on. They just wanted to make sure that in case there was something going on, you know, that could happen. That's a son. All right, I mean, that's a servant. You know, oh, you know, like, hey, can you come to morning prayer? This is what we do as a church, you know, come. Well, you know, I don't really want to. You know, I do my own thing. I pray on my own, you know, and I don't really see the need to come together to do that. You know, or, you know, I just can't wake up in the morning, you know, and stuff. And, you know, I have my own private time. Well, yeah, it's because you're a servant, because you're not a son. You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Now, let him really go deep down into your motives. You know, really begin to ruminate deep in our soul. Are you a son or daughter, or are you a servant? Right? I mean, it plays out in our attitudes. It plays out in things that we do. You know, quite important how that manifests. Right? Number five, right? Sons bond new people to the family and to the father. Servants bond people to themselves. Right? Sons bond new people to the family and to the father. Servants bond new people to themselves. You know, when you're at church and people come, right? You want to connect them to the family of God. You know, but servants want to connect them to themselves. They want their posse. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we don't see it so much in our church, but it's like, you know, I brought Stevie to church, so I own Stevie. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a son. So Stevie, you know, goes out and hangs out with some other people, and all of a sudden I get jealous. I brought him. I own him. You know? It's like, you know, he only has to do what I say he has to do. You know? That's a servant. It's a servant. But see, a son, you know, brings someone and he bonds him to the family of God, right? He introduces him to leaders, you know, and he wants to graft him into the family, not to themselves. You know, and I know you guys are not like this, you know, I know, but maybe there's a little part of you, you know, that you have that kind of mentality. Right, that you're building your own little posse at church, you know, and it's about you and your group that you're, you know, and you don't want to necessarily let them go to experience and enjoy. I know this is the wrong church to say this to, right? Because I know you guys are not like that at all, right? And stuff, but I mean, sons bond new people to the family and to the father, right? Servants bond new people to themselves. You know, servants are about having their clique. You know what I mean? You know, oh, this is us four and no more, right? But sons are about, you know, not being inclusive, but being exclusive, right? You know, is that right? Is it the other way around? Other way around! I just make sure you pay attention. That's good. You guys are paying good attention, right? You know, that you want to, that's right, you want to include everyone, right? You don't want to be exclusive. You know, that's what a son does. You know, a servant is just about, you know, after church is over and you just go talk to your friends that you saw yesterday and hung out for 8 hours, you know, but you only talk to them, you know, but yet here's all these new people, you know, and all these people that you don't know, but it's like, hey, guys, you know, I was with you 80 hours last week, but it's okay. Let me spend another 10 minutes with you. You know what I mean? It's different, you know, but a son, right, is inclusive, right? It's just is open, available, you know, and wants, you know, new people or people that, you know, they just join the church. They want them to bond to the whole church, you know, and not just to themselves. You know, a son is not cliquish, right? Because son operates in family mode, right? It's a very, very different thing. Sons, is this six? Sons focus on the welfare of the people. Servants focus on appearance. Right? Sons focus on the welfare of the people. Servants focus on appearance. You know, what I mean by that is what's important is what's there, not what it looks like. Right? A servant just wants people to think that they're holy. You know what I mean? And if we're talking about a church setting and, you know, I'm holy, you know, I'm pure, I'm clean, or, you know, or I'm righteous, or whatever these kind of things. And it's focused on appearance. But a son is different. Son focuses on the welfare of people, right? A son is focused, you know, on people's lives and what's going on there. You know, in this case, you know, when your father or leaders or someone, when they don't validate you, you know, you basically have to be validated by what you do and what you look and what you say and these kind of things. But see, a son doesn't need that validation, right? Because they're a son. You know, the validation's there because there's a spirit of adoption that's there. I mean, of course, we like encouragement. We like these things, but that doesn't dictate how we live our life. You know, we're not serving, you know, so Pastor Sam or someone could say, man, you're such a great servant. You know, oh, you're so good at doing this. Because we're about building the house, right? It's a whole different thing. You know, a son is secure in the father's love. A son, you know, doesn't have to impress others. It's not part of the game there. A son, you know, what is this, number seven? A son, sons are secure and can handle correction, discipline, and change, right? Servants always place the fault on someone else, right? I'll read that again. Sons are secure and can handle correction, discipline, and change. Servants place the fault on somebody else. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Can we turn the air conditioning on somewhere? It's hot. Or turn the setting, make it a little cooler in here. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. For it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which you all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Right? So sons, they can endure, right? They are secure and can handle correction. They can handle discipline. They can handle change. Servants, when that time comes, they'll always place the blame on other people. You know, you'll have a situation, something will happen, you know, be confronted with something. Oh, it's not my fault. It was a situation. You know, or it was this, you know, this thing happened, or, you know, it's actually my mom's fault. You know, she really jacked me up when I was growing up. Or, you know, or it's always someone else's fault. You know, and it's not our own. We don't take our own responsibility. But when you're a son and you're secure, You take responsibility. And you welcome discipline. You know, you welcome change in your life. If it means that you're going to draw closer to God, it means that you're going to be a better person. Right? This is stuff that we welcome in our life. You know, this is what God is doing within us. You know, and we can handle correction. We can handle discipline. We can handle change. You know, it's trust me. You know, as a leader, as a pastor, typically, right? I mean, most people, normal people, we don't like confrontation. You know what I mean? You know, I don't like to come to you and tell you, hey, you know, maybe you should really shore this up in your life, or maybe you should stop doing that with your girlfriend, or you know, maybe you should, you know, maybe you know, not do this, or you know what I mean? It's not a good thing for that to happen. Trust me, when I have to sit down with you for lunch or dinner, you know, I'm sweating for a few days, man. Right? Praying, asking God, you know, to number one, to convict you first, so I don't have to do it. You know, or if that doesn't work, then you know, to bring some gentleness, you know, with the words that come, you know what I mean, and stuff. And so it's not an easy thing to do. But when that time happens, you know, what a blessing when the person listens and says, "Yeah, Pastor Sam, you're right." You know, and I am right, you know, because the Bible's right, right? Instead of, you know, a person says, "What? Me? No, I didn't do that." You know, and stuff, and you know what I mean? And on and on and on. And, you know, I just sit there and I say, "Come on, man, get real. You know, just don't you know God's here? He's brought me here to you because he wants you to be blessed. You know, he doesn't want you to live a destructive life, man. You know, but it's always this, you know, someone else's fault. It's so different." You know, and what a comfort as a pastor, I guess, you know, that when those times comes, and they do come, you know, sometimes more often than I would like, and things, but when that happens, so yeah, you know, Pastor Sam, gosh, I just feel the conviction of God, and I'm going to get my life straight, man. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to, you know, align myself with the Lord. You know, is there any books that you can give me that would help me through this? And, you know, maybe we can meet together and pray a little bit. And, you know, can I sign up for some inner healing? Or, you know, whatever the case may be, what a blessing when that happens. Because a son, right, is secure. You know, discipline, correction, change, those are not bad words for a son. Or I would say negative words. You know what I mean? In fact, those words are very positive, you know, because you want to grow. You want to, you know, be in the optimum position to build God's house. You know, you want to be a son, you know, and you put yourself under the covering, you know, of your leaders in that way. And because I mean, you just want to grow. You know, I can remember when I was first, you know, when I first became a pastor, you know, I had a very... probably different than most people, but I had the most amazing relationship with my senior pastor. And this was at a Korean church. And, you know, we all know Korean churches suck and all that stuff. But, you know, I was at this, the politics, you know, I don't have to get into it, you know, and stuff. But, you know, and immediately during when I first came into that place, you know, just very shortly afterwards, I went to my pastor and I said, "Pastor Kim, you know, I know you already have this authority, but I give you permission, you know, right now in my life, that if you see anything, you know, slightly, you know, aberrant or whatever the case may be, or whatever, you know, God speaks to you about something, I give you permission to come and rebuke me." You know, I mean, straight up, you can, you know, just because I want to grow, right, and I want to be a son. You know, and I've done this many times in my life, you know, and I, you know, went to my, one of the first intercessors that God gave me, this incredible woman of God, and actually this one, I wrote her a letter, you know, and I just put it down in writing, so we actually had a contract together, you know, and I signed it, she signed it, you know, and it was basically like, I give you permission, you know, to look into my life and tell me if there's anything that you see wrong. And the way I wrote it out, because she's actually very highly prophetic and stuff. And so I said, if you pray and God shows you something, I give you permission to just lay it on me, man. Right? Because I want to come under your covering, you know, and I want to be a son. You know, when the new pastor came here, not the current one, but the one before, I had the same conversation. And I said, you know, Pastor Park, if you see anything in my life, you know, and that you, you know, want to just speak into me for whatever reason, I give you permission to rebuke me. I give you permission to correct me, you know, whatever the case may be, you know. And it's freeing, right? Because for a son, discipline, correction, even rebuke is a good thing. It's a good thing, right? Because, you know, I mean, sometimes we stray away. Sometimes we don't even know we're straying away. You know what I mean? We get caught up in compromise, you know, and sometimes we just don't know, you know. And I mean, that's the beauty of accountability, right? And, you know, that you stray a little bit and your friends could say, really? Well, what are you doing that for? You know, and then you lay out your motives and that's a bunch of crap, man. You know, that's not what, you know what I mean? But what a blessing when that comes to us. Because a true son, right? That's how they operate. You know, they're not afraid of discipline. They're not afraid of correction. In fact, those things are very good things that happen in our life because it leads us on to the path again that we can build something for the Lord, right? This is the operation of sonship, right? This is how it unfolds, you know, in our life. Sons share their inner conversations. Servants only tell you what you want them to, what you want to know, right? I should say, servants and hirelings tell you only what they want you to know, right? Sons share their inner conversations. In other words, sons, they open up their hearts to one another, you know, to other brothers, to leaders, you know. Servants, they only tell you what they want you to hear. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, how's everything in your life? And a servant will only tell you what they think is appropriate to tell you. You know, they don't tell you all this other stuff going on. They only tell you this half truth, you know, or this half this or half that, you know. But a son shares everything, you know, shares the deep thoughts that move around, that shares the inner convictions of their heart. You know, it's such a vast, vast difference, right, between a son, right, and between a servant. You know, and so I go back to the question. Actually, there's a few more points, but I think I'll just let it slide for today. Right? Let me ask you this question. Oh, incidentally, a son is not interested in how long the sermon is. A servant is looking at the watch, right? A son wants more. Thanks, my daughter, right? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today, huh? All right, that's just manipulation, so that's not right either, right? But such an incredible difference between a son and a servant. Servants do not get to build the house, right? Servants don't get an inheritance. Servants don't get the reward in heaven. They get the reward here on earth, which is just peanuts compared to what God has in store. Sons will build His house. Sons, right, will build His church. You know, sons will make, you know, as we read in Hebrews, will make it joyful, right, to be leaders. You know, it's such an incredible difference. And so let the Spirit speak to you. What is preventing you from being a son? That is your goal. I mean, in fact, that is your right as a child of God. What is it that's preventing you from doing that? You know, what is it that gets away from your commitment to the Lord? You know, the commitment to His house. You know, we say this, right? Martin Luther said, man, God, you cannot have God as your father and not have the church as your mother. Right? It just doesn't work like that. That's why there's something empty about watching church on television. You know what I mean? I mean, it's, you know, but there's just something so empty and in some ways, something so wrong about your church is watching God TV Sunday morning. You know what I mean? There's just something, you know, unless you're, you know, like, can't move out of your house or something, you know, but I mean, there's just something wrong with that picture. So what is it that is, you know, getting in the way for you to really commit to building God's house? You know, I say God's going to do something. You know, it's just amazing, you know, and He wants to do it through you, every single one of us. He wants to do it through us, You know, but God is sovereign. Just be honest. God is sovereign. He's gonna do it. He's gonna get it done. The job's gonna be done. He so desperately wants to do it through you. But if you're not willing, he'll just go through somebody else. But the sadness of that, the sadness is that no one could do it like you could do it. No one can. Just the way that God's made you, your calling, your gifts, your anointing. You know, you someone, but it won't be done just the way that you could have done it. And with that, right, it's the reward of heaven, you know, the reward of building something for the Lord. You just won't have. Let's close our eyes.